Right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah, daf Zion. Our discussion has been through the past couple of days, the Isra of Baal Te'acher. One is not allowed to delay a neder. A person makes a neder that he's going to bring a karban. Either could be a neder, could be a nedava, could be an obligation as well. So three yantavs go by, he's going to be in violation of the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. We went through extensively the past number of days. Pasuk found in Parshas Kiseitse, the Torah there describes that one is not to delay, and the is and the prohibition of not delaying is for the deadline is three regalim. Now I simplified, as we know already, it's a machlokus. It's an extensive machlokus amongst five tanaim of the mentioned in the Braisa. The Braisa started all the way back on Davdala Mad Aleph. But just to simplify, though, so three regalim create a prohibition of Baal Te'acher, and that has been our discussion from the bottom of Dalam and Aleph through Hay, through Vav, and it continues today through Zayin, although today will be the end. It will be the last day where we discuss the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daftaf at Lubilun, Lezech and Ishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The discussion has not only taken us through the prohibition of Baal Te'acher, but there are two ways that one can violate Baal Te'acher. One way is, as we just described, where you have three yantavs, and three yantavs come and go, and you didn't bring your carbon. Another way is by going through an actual year on the calendar. One violates the Isra of Baal Te'acher. How do we define a year? So as we learned already yesterday, and a number of times in Shas, that's a machlokus in terms of what the definition of a year is. Is a year 365 days? Is a year going to be the date from date to date? So that was a machlokus yesterday. Okay, we touched on that as well, and we're continuing. We're in the Gemara, we're in Daf Vav Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud, and two short questions from Rabbi Zera. The questions are not short, but the answers of the Gemara are going to be short. By Rabbi Zera, question number one, Yorish Mahu Bebal Te'acher. So what about a Yorish? What about somebody who inherits? Under certain circumstances, a person can inherit a carbon. Right, the dad set aside a carbon, and unfortunately, dad didn't have a chance to bring the carbon. And so now the son is the Yorish, he inherits the carbon. So now he stands in the place of his father, and he's obligated to bring the carbon. So is he bound by this prohibition of Baal Te'acher? So kisi nedar marachman v'halo nadar. So on one hand, he wasn't the noder. In other words, he may have the carbon in his possession, but he's not the one who actually made the neder. So maybe the only prohibition of Baal Te'acher is for the one who made the neder, but he didn't make the neder. So that's one way to look at it. On the other hand, he is obligated to bring it. So maybe the deadline of Baal Te'acher is triggered by your obligation to bring it. He's obligated to bring it, even though he's not the one who made the neder. Tashma didn't Rabbi Chia. So the Gemara answers this question really quickly. It's a brisa. The brisa says, "Me'imach, Akash Baruch Hu is going to be upset with you." Right, that's the pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, probably Yoresh. And what does Me'imach mean? Specifically you, meaning you and only you. Meaning that if in the event the carbon is transferred over to your next of kin, he is not going to be bound by the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. Now the Gemara points out, reminds us, we already darshaned from the word Me'imach. And you can't do that. One of the basic rules of darshaning is that it's only one halacha per word. So the Gemara says, Karibay imach, v'karibay me'imach. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's actually two words. It's the mem is a prefix, and so we're darshaning imach and me'imach. One of them teaches us the halacha of lechishech umpeya, and the other one teaches us that it's you to the exclusion of the yorish. And Rashi points out the mem. The mem is the exclusion of you of you to the exclusion of yorish. By Rav Zera, the next question of Rabbi Zera. Isha Mahu Baal Te'acher. Is a woman bound by Baal Te'acher? Now, a woman can certainly offer a carbon in the base of Mikdash. That's documented in the Torah. So the woman could be a Nazir, woman, whatever. In other words, a number of occasions where woman, if she has a liability, she has to bring carbon chatas. Okay, so a woman brings a carbon. That's not up for the discussion. What's up for the discussion is she bound by the prohibition of Baal Te'acher? Ostensibly, the answer should be yes. The Gemara says no, maybe not. So, mi aminan halo mechayve beri'ia. The Torah says, when are you going to bring your carbon? Ve'veisam shama. I'm sorry, let me do that better. Uvasa shama, ve'veisam shama. Right, you'll go there and you'll bring the carbon, meaning the Torah is speaking to the one who is obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. Who's obligated in Aliyah L'Regel? The men are obligated in Aliyah L'Regel, not the women. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So the argument could be that she's not bound by this three regal deadline because she doesn't have to go to Yerushalayim for the regal. So Odilma Ha'isa B'Simcha. On the other hand, no, she doesn't have the mitzvah of Alila Regel, but she does have the mitzvah of Simcha. She has to rejoice on the Yontif. Now, what exactly that means? So it is an interesting Rashi. Rashi over here says, what does that mean that she has to rejoice on the Regel? So Rashi says, well, actually, I'll tell you what, give me a moment. I'm sorry. Let me read a little bit more Gemara, and then I'll get to the Rashi. So Amalei Abai, v'tepiklei daha isa b'simcha. So Abaye says, I understand. Let's just derive it from the fact that she has this mitzvah of simcha. Now the Gemara says, now Abaye, you're arguing on behalf of the fact that since she has a mitzvah of simcha, and simcha means that she's going to be in the vicinity of Yerushalayim, and therefore she's bound by the prohibition of Baal Te'acher, Abaye, you yourself say, Vahamar Abaye, Isha Bala Misamcha. No. The chief obligation is not for the woman to provide for herself simcha. The obligation is for the husband to provide simcha for his wife. There is no primary obligation on the woman vis-a-vis simcha. That's a mitzvah fundamentally on the husband to provide simcha for his wife. So once again, Abaye, I don't understand where you're staying on this argument. Our question is a woman violate Baal Te'acher? On the side that we're in, the side to say no is easy, she doesn't have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. The side to say yes is because she has a mitzvah of Simcha. But Abaye, even you acknowledge that the mitzvah of Simcha is not her primary mitzvah, it's her husband's primary mitzvah. And if that's true, so then where's the argument to say that she's violating Baal Te'acher? Just one moment. L'dvarav de Rabbi Zera Kamar. So the Gemara says, Abaye's acknowledgement is, you're right. If you ask me, I don't even see the question. Meaning, from my standpoint, the mitzvah of simcha is primarily on the husband, not on the wife. And so therefore, she herself has no mitzvah to be in Yerushalayim. Neither for the reason of Alila Regel, she's exempt from Alila Regel, neither for the reason of simcha, that's on her obligation. That's her husband's obligation. Now, she'll find herself in the Beis HaMikdash, in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash, but not because of an internal obligation that she has. So therefore, if Abaye says, if you ask me, I would tell you, no, she doesn't have a mitzvah. She's not bound by this prohibition of Baal Te'acher. But Rabbi Zera asked the question. Obviously, Rabbi Zera disagrees with me. Obviously, Rabbi Zera says that is of the opinion that Simcha is her obligation, not the husband's obligation. So from Rabbi Zera's standpoint, the question stands. It's a good question for Rabbi Zera. Abai says, but for me, it's not even a question.
Isn't Baal Te'acher the quintessential Shasman Grom mitzvah? I mean, why is it even brought up
first of all, it's a lav in the Torah. And we know by lavin, we don't make any distinction between zman grama and lav zman grama.
It's a time-based concept.
Good, but by lavin, it doesn't matter. By lavin, even if it's time-based, it's still women are still going to be obligated. Mishnah Kedushin. So to go over. So fine. So the Gemara says that a woman doesn't, at least according to Abaye, a woman doesn't have an internal obligation of simcha. That is simcha provided from the husband for the wife, but it's not her own obligation. What is this mitzvah of simcha that we spoke about? So I almost let the cat out of the bag a little bit early, but let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does that mean? Bala misamcha. So Rashi says, bebaba bebigde tzivonim beretiswa bebigde peshtan amuguatzim. So new clothing. Now, whatever's the fashion. If you lived out in Bavel, so they wore color out in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, so they wore linen, right? It was more black and white dress in Eretz Yisrael, actually more white. That is per the Gemara in Kedushin. So Rashi is of the opinion that what our Gemara is describing over here is the husband's obligation to provide for his wife new clothing. So Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam says, no. What? What's Rashi talking about? Rashi's quoting the Gemara in Kedushin. Yeah, that's true. Bizmanenu, nowadays, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so then, yeah, in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, in the absence of Karban, so then, yeah, you want to be Mesameach your wife, so you get a new clothing. But what the Gemara here is referencing is the Achilas Basar Kachim, the eating of Kachim meat. That's what the Gemara here is discussing. In the context of our Gemara, Rabbi Natan makes a lot of sense. Because our Gemara is saying, look, she's going to be in Yerushalayim. Why is she going to be in Yerushalayim? Because she's going to eat Karban. And what Abaye was arguing is, yes, that's true, but that's not her obligation, that's her husband's obligation. But Rabbeinu Tam says, when the Gemara references the husband's obligation of Simcha to be Masameach his wife, it means, Bizmana Beis HaMikdash, that we're all going to sit down together and we're going to all eat Basar Kachim together in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. So anyway, basic issue between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in terms of what the mitzvah of Simcha is as being described here in the Gemara. Obviously, Rabbeinu Tam agrees nowadays the mitzvah of Simcha is getting new clothing for your wife, but that's not what the Gemara was referencing over here, as the Gemara was having a discussion of Baal Te'achim. Ibayilahu. Next question of the Gemara. Okay, so we just dealt with two questions of Rabbi Zeira, and both of them, well, actually, the first one answered clearly, and the second one, not as clear. Question number one, is a Yerush bound by the prohibition of Baal Te'achir? The Gemara says, no, he's not. A person inherits a carbon from his father, so he's not bound by this prohibition of Baal Te'achir. Question number two, is a woman bound by the prohibition of Baal Te'achir? The Gemara says, you could argue. You could argue that she's not, because she doesn't have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but you could argue otherwise as well. On the Yorish, the Gemara is very clear. He's excluded. On a woman, I do not know. I didn't look up the Rambam. The Rambam is the only place where you're going to find this discussion, as the Shulchan Aruch is not going to be discussing Baal Te'achir. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch does discuss in the context of Tztaka, as we discussed yesterday. We're three lines from the bottom. We're on Vav Amud Bey's next question of the Gemara. B'chor me'emasai monim lo shana. We know that a b'chor must be eaten within its first year. Right? That's we quote the pasuk yesterday in yesterday's daf, that when you have a b'chor, it should be eaten in the first year. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, if you didn't eat in the first year, so obviously it still has its kedushas b'chor, it still is eaten as a b'chor, but it should be eaten within the first year. The question is very simple. When does the first year begin regarding the b'chor? The answer should have been really simple from the moment it's born. It's not that simple, for reasons we're about to explain. So, b'chor me'emas ha'imon olam shana, abay amar mishah shenola, revach abay yakav amar mishah shenira lehartza'a. So the Gemara over here offers two opinions. One opinion is from the day it's born. And that's when, in other words, that's the day it's born, its birthday, its first year birthday is considered the first year. That's easy. The second opinion of the Gemara is Mishah Shenira Lahartza'a, the time that's fit to be offered as a carbon. We know, the Torah says, that an animal can only be brought on the carbon only from its eighth day and onward. Miyom Hashmini Vahala. Only from the eighth day and onward an animal can be brought as a carbon. So those first 7 days, right, what the Gemara says time and again, it's Mechusar Zman. The animal is premature. You cannot offer an animal as a carbon within the first 7 days. So, question, when exactly am I going to start? In other words, I know I have a year to offer this animal as a carbon. Not fair that the year should start on the day of birth. I can't bring the animal for the next 7 days. So, the argument therefore should be that the year should begin not on day one, but rather on day eight. The Gemara points out, however, v'lo pligi. Interesting, the Gemara says, there really is no debate over here. There is no debate. Habitam ha-bibamum. Actually, we're describing two different types of b'chor. A b'chor that's born perfect, unblemished, versus a b'chor that's born with a blemish. A b'chor that's born perfect, so it's carbon ready. Yes and no. Meaning, it is carbon ready, but as a carbon, you can only bring it on day eight. So therefore, its year begins on day eight. If it's born balmum, so then actually, interesting, you can eat it right away. You don't have to wait till the eighth day.
If it's Baal Mum, it's not
Baal Mum, no. Baal Mum just simply means that it's a physical blemish, which means that it won't be fit for the Mizbeach. But that doesn't mean it's a Trefa. Right? Trefa, an easy way to look at it, but it is a simplification. Trefa is internal, Baal Mum is external. Just that, but it's an oversimplification, but that's fine. It'll work. So the Gemara says, Bamon mi mati achale. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. So you're telling me that I can eat a newborn animal? So the Gemara says, and let's understand what's behind the Gemara's question over here. Rashi reminds us that when an animal is born, we are concerned that the animal may be a nafal. We don't know, but there's that concern. And therefore, every animal that's born, we have to wait. Now it happens to be that the same waiting period is going to be 8 days. But
30?
Huh?
30
for a human.
For human.
Right. Rashi quotes the Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbos. But for humans, 30 days, and for an animal, it's 8 days. So it happens to be that for an animal, we need to wait 8 days. Not because of a carbon halacha, obviously, it has nothing to do with carbon. It has to do with just the simple fact that we want to make sure that the animal's not an aphel. If the animal survives for the first 8 days, so the animal's not an aphel. So it's interesting, with the Gemara now saying, well, the Balmum, the Bechor Balmum, can be eaten right away. And therefore, its year is going to be from the date of birth. But the Gemara says, yeah, but how can we eat it? The animal may be an aphel. And the Gemara gives a very simple answer. The Kim Lay, there still is a year. Interesting, there still is a year. It still has, even as a Balmum, it still has a Bechor status. Right? It is a good point you're raising.
What does he have to do with it?
He has to eat it.
In the year?
Yeah. Yeah, so in other words,
it's actually a mitzvah if you eat a Balmum before.
Yeah, right. Interesting. In other words, the Gemara, that's essentially what the Gemara is arguing. Not arguing, it's stating. So the Gemara says, wait, just one second. Huh? A nafel, yeah. In other words, the nafel. In other words, so it's just one second. Let me just finish the Gemara, and maybe this will be resolved. So the Gemara says, the kim lebe shekalolo chadasha. So the Gemara says, look, why are we concerned with a nafel? We're concerned that it's a nafel because it wasn't fully developed in utero. And what happens then is that it's a stillbirth. It just came out too early, and some form of miscarriage, and as a result of that, so the animal has no life potential, and therefore it's however you want to say it. It's a treif, it's an avela, but in other words, however you want to say it. But in other words, it's not the shechita didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true if we don't know if the animal came to term, but if we know. Right, the farmers have, you know, a sense of this. If they know that the animal was impregnated, right? For small animals, it's 5 months. For large animals, 9 months. But if they know that the animal was impregnated 9 months ago, and they know that this fetus that came out, this newborn that came out, I should say, went to full term. The fetus went full term. So then, there's no requirement to wait 8 days. The requirement to wait 8 days for non-carbonos is just simply to know that we're not eating an aphel. That's all. But if we know that the pregnancy went to full term, so then there's no problem of nafel. There's no concern of nafel, and then you can eat it on day one. And so good. So now that's fine. So the Gemara says no contradiction. If the animal comes out unblemished, so then it's carbon ready. But then you have to wait 8 days because of the pasuk. If the carbon comes out, the bechor comes out blemished, so it can't be offered on the mizbeach. Still has bechor status, still has to be eaten within its first year, and its first year starts on the day of birth. Okay, Adkan.
If you find inside the mother's,
but that animal is shechted via the mother.
That's correct,
and that's not a bechor. But that's a different shechita. That's a shechita of the mother, and then the baby just comes, you know, as a appendage to the mother. Okay. And that's it. Adkan. Adkan, when I say Adkan, that means that, although we're starting right now today's daf, but it means now that we have concluded the Gemara's discussion of Baal Te'acher. Okay, so you want to know now where the Torah describes, where the Gemara describes Baal Te'acher, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet, all the way to Daf Zayin, the top of Daf Zayin, is the Gemara's discussion of Baal Te'acher. Okay, and we're back to our Mishnah. Now so far, what did we discuss in the Mishnah? The first Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says there are four Rosh Hashanahs in the course of the year, and now we describe the first Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The first day of Nisan, which represents two firsts. It's the first in terms of the kings, that when the king crosses the threshold of day one of Nisan, it's now he's in his next year of his rule. That's Rosh Hashanah al-Malachim. And now what we described is Rosh Hashanah al-Regalim. It's the first for Regal as well. Meaning that in the month of Nisan, this is the way the Gemara described it earlier, in the month of Nisan you have Pesach, and Pesach is the first Yantav. What does that mean, the first Yantav? Because in order to violate Baal Te'acher, you have to go through Yantav number one, Pesach, Yantav number two, Shavuos, and Yantav number three, Sukkos. Now that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Perfect. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah expresses the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. And that is the second Rosh Hashanah that occurs in the month of Nisan. Okay, now before we go on in the Mishnah, the Gemara now will spend nearly the rest of today's daf describing the following. You know, there are omissions in our Mishnah. A lot of other things occur also on the first day of Nisan, and they are not mentioned in the Mishnah. So what we will be doing today for the rest of today's daf is discussing what omissions are there in the Mishnah. Obviously, you're not going to see in the Mishnah, but what omissions are there in the Mishnah, and why did the Mishnah leave them out, even though there are other halachas that apply vis-a-vis the first day of Nisan. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan, second line of Zayin Amud Aleph. Be'echem Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'chadashim. So first of all, when we get to the first day of Nisan, what is that? It's the first month of the year. Nisan is the first month. So that means, remember, the names of the month, we've said this already a couple of times. The names of the month, so we got that out of Persia. Right? When we went through our first exile after the destruction of the first temple, we went to what was Bavel, then becomes Persia. So there is where we got to call the months by name. But prior to that, what were the months? They were just simply a number. Nisan was month number 1. Tishrei was month number 7. And that's it. The months just simply went by the numbers. And what is the number 1 month? That's Nisan. So when you get to Nisan, you're hitting now month number 1. Okay? Rosh Hashanah lechadashim leiburim. It's the beginning of the year vis-a-vis Ibur, adding an additional month. Stay tuned. That will be a discussion that's going to occur later this morning. And Truma Shkalim. And also, the first day of the new fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. We spent the Masechta talking about this, that the first day of Nisan is the beginning of the new year in terms of operating expenditures in the Beis HaMikdash. All karbanos that are going to be offered from the first day of Nisan has to come in from new monies that were collected over the course of the past month, but cannot be used with last year's monies. And finally, v'yeshomer maflis chiras batim. And, oh, by the way, there's another opinion over here recording the Braisa that the first day of Nisan ends all rentals, which we'll talk about later this morning as well. Okay, so there are a number of things which the Braisa here records also occurs on the first day of Nisan. The first month of the year, Iber, which we'll discuss more, Truma Shkalim, and some say rentals as well, all begin on the first day of Nisan. And now, what the Gemara is going to do is the following. On each one of these four categories, we're going to discuss them in terms of A, simply what they are, and B, how come our mission doesn't mention it. So, Lichadashim. So, number 1, Chodesh. Nisan is the first month of the year. Minalan dichsiv. So, how do I know that? So, the Gemara says, open up Chumash, Parshas Bo. HaChodesh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodeshim Rishonu Lechem Lechashe Hashanah. This month is the Rosh Chodesh. It's the first of the year. It's the first month of the whole year. Okay, and the Gemara quotes a lot of the Pesukim over here. But in other words, Parshas Bo. The Torah describes this month is the first month. Uksiv. Now, it's interesting. This month is the first month. Which month is the Torah describing? So you and I will say, well, of course, it's describing Nisan. That's circular logic. We call it Nisan because we think it's Nisan. Meaning, we don't know that. We just know that the Torah is describing this month as being the first month. So we're arguing Nisan, but that's circular logic. We're saying it's Nisan because we think it's Nisan. How do we know it's Nisan? So the Gemara says, that's why I need the second pasuk. Uksiv, Shmoris Chodesh Ha'aviv. And the Torah says, going all the way now to the end, Parshas Re'ei. Right? So it says, it's the spring. It's Chodesh Aviv. Now, by the way, we say Aviv is spring, right? That's which is correct, which is accurate. But that's not a literal translation of the word Aviv. Aviv means when it starts blooming, right? The season when it starts blooming, and more specifically, it's talking about wheat. Okay. Now, I'm not knowledgeable in the wheat field, meaning both literally and non-literally, but I don't know much about it, but basically what the Gemara will tell us is that in the month of what we call Nisan, that's when wheat starts growing in the land, blossoming. So, Ezer Chodesh Yeshbo Aviv, so when do you have this? When do you have this Aviv? Wheat starting to produce out in the field? So, Haviyom is a Nisan. Vikarile Rishon. So it's Nisan, and the Torah calls the Rishon. So you see what we just did? We Parshas Bo. The Torah describes this month as being month number 1, but we don't know what month that is. We go to Parshas Re'ei, and we see that the Torah describes this month, meaning the whatever month we're celebrating Pesach in, as being the Aviv month. And what is the Aviv month? That's what we call Nisan. So the Gemara says,
saying, Aviv, you separate the two words. You separate the word Aviv. You have Av, Yud, Beis.
Okay, good.
First,
very nice. Very nice. Ve'ema Iyar. So the Gemara says, why not describe it at, why not say it's Iyar? Meaning we have wheat blossoming in the field also in the month of Iyar as well. So be'ina Aviv Aleika. So the Gemara says, no, that's not Aviv. As Rashi explains, any wheat that's being that's growing in the month of Iyar, that's late. That has a different name to it. That's called Afela. In fact, you know where you see this in the Torah? Or at least to my memory. Which doesn't mean much. But you know where you see this in the Torah? You see this at the very end of Parshas Va'era. You remember what happens? Down falls which is a makkah at the end of Va'era. So it's Barad. Right? You could say it's the era first, right? The law you take the kishav. Tavadechi yadad kitem terim emnesham. V'apishta v'asa'ara nukasa. Ah. So the Torah describes... Right? So the Torah describes, I'm at the very end of Parshas Va'era. V'apishta v'asa'ara nukasa. So when it comes to the flax and to the barley, so that got devastated by the hail. Ki asa'ara aviv. Because barley is early in the season. V'apishta give all. V'achita v'akusemes lo nuku. But wheat and kusemes, spelt rye. One of the two. Okay, good. I cheated. I looked. Spelt. Okay, v'achita I got it right here. V'achita v'akusemes lo nuku. Ki afelos hena. Or to pronounce it better. Ki afelos hena. Anyway, so you see the early grains are called Aviv, and the late grains are called Afela or Afila. Okay. Anyway, so Iyar, the month of Iyar, that's not the Aviv grain; that's the Afila grain. So the Gemara says it can't be Iyar. So the Gemara says, "I'm sorry." Back to the Gemara. Okay. Ve'ema Iyar be'in Aviv aleka. Ve'ema Adar. So the Gemara says, okay, but an Adar, so you have grains starting to produce an Adar, so bina rova vivaleka. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're right. Some grains do grow an Adar, but most of the wheat grains are coming out of the ground in the month of Nisan. So that is argument number one of the Gemara. How do I know that the first month of the year is Nisan? So in answer to that, the Torah in Parshas Bo describes this being the first month, which is this. Parshas Re'eh says the Aviv month. And most of the wheat is growing in the month of Nisan. That is argument number one. The Gemara doesn't love the argument. Midi rov aviv ksiv. The Gemara says, yeah, but look, the Torah doesn't say rov. The Torah just simply says chodesh ha'aviv. It could be Adar. So the Gemara says, okay, attempt number two. But this is one of those Gemaras where we know the conclusion, meaning we all know Nisan is the first month. It's just a question of getting us the best argument to get to that point. So the Gemara is going to argue this now from the other half of the year. Now we're going to go to the seventh month of the year. Again, we call that Tishrei, but the Gemara is arguing, how do we know that? Well, the Torah says that in the seventh month of the year, what are we doing? Asifa. We're gathering. In Israel, well, they harvest in the spring, they gather in the fall. Okay. So during that time, what happens between harvest and gathering? They let it out in the field and to dry out. Okay. So once again, now here the logic works now backwards. We know that the Torah describes the seventh month where we are celebrating Sukkot. And the Torah calls that Asifa. So it must mean it's got to be Tishrei. That's when we gather. And if we're gathering in Tishrei in the seventh month, so that means Nisan's month number one. Great. The Kakari le Shvi'a ve'ema mar cheshvan u'may Shvi'a Shvi'a le'yar. So the Gemara says again, it's an argument, but it's not conclusive. It's not ironclad argument. You could say that the gathering takes place in Marcheshvan. And if that's true, that's the seventh month, and that means the first month would be Iyar. Be'ina Asif Valeka. The Gemara says, yeah, but no one's gathering in Marcheshvan. Ve'ema Elul, my Shvi'a Shvi'a Adar. Yeah, but gathering in Elul? And if Elul is the seventh month, that means Adar is month number one. Bina rova asif valeka. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is some gathering done in Elul, but majority of gathering is done in the month of Tishrei. Midi rova asif ksiv. The Gemara says again the same argument. Yeah, but now we are again. We're splitting hairs. Most of the gathering is done in Tishrei, but some of the gathering is done in Elul. We could call Elul the Chodesh HaAsif. So Elam Ravina Davar Zemi Toras Marshon Ravina Lamanu Medivrei Kabbalah Lamanu. So Ravina says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. There is no pasuk in the Torah that describes that the first month being described in Parshas Bo is Nisan, what we call Nisan. You're right, but if you read the rest of Tanakh, you'll get it. So. Lo lamanu mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu, but we learned it from Divrei Kabbalah. Bayom esvim varba l'shteyaster chodesh chodesh Shvat. Okay, pasuk in Zechariah describing Shvat as the 11th month. Good. So this is one of those scenarios where, it's we know the conclusion. We just want to know where do we see it clearly in the Torah. We're not. It's not. He's not being mischadish halacha. He's not teaching us the new halacha. It's known. Just where can we see it clearly? So Rabba Ulamar Meacha Vatilakaches Olamelcha Cheshel Beitz Machusa B'Chodesh Ha'asiri Hu Chodesh Teves. Right, we're going to have a couple of Megillah references because the Megillah Esther has explicitly a couple of times a reference to the number of the month and which month it is. Rav Kahana Amar Meacha Barba L'Chodesh Hachi B'Kislev. Back to Zechariah in the fourth month. In the ninth month, which is the month of Kislev, Rav Acher by Yaakov Amar Me'achav Yikaru Sofrei Amalech Beisei Hi B'Chodesh Hashishi Chodesh Sivan. The third month is Sivan, says the Megillas Esther. Rav Ashi Amar Me'achav Bil Pura Agarol Lifnei Amam Miyom Liyom Me'Chodesh Chodesh Nimasar Hu Chodesh Adar. Adar is being described as the 12th month. V'Baisem Amar Me'achav B'Chodesh Avishon Hu Chodesh Nisan. And now the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Megillas Esther, which, oh by the way, describes Nisan as being month number one. Now, a lot of psukim have been cited. Okay, good. The point has been made. There is no clear, absolute clear indication in the Torah that the first month is Nisan, but you read the rest of Tanakh, psukim and Zechariah, psukim and Megillas Esther, and we get it. The Gemara says, but that last pasuk, isn't that the best source? In other words, the pasuk in Megillas Esther says, Chodesh HaRishon Hu Chodesh Nisan. The first month is Nisan. Why? I mean, it's great. The tour of Tanakh is great, but why not just everyone quote that pasuk? The Gemara's question. So the Gemara says no, because Rishon over there could be understood not as an objective statement. This is the first month of the year. It could just simply mean in the context of the story, this is the beginning. Meaning here's Haman and it could very well be that the Navi over there, the Megillah over there, was just describing one in the context, not as an objective statement. Now, good. Because we don't, but we don't know that. Again, but that's circular reasoning. You and I know it's Nisan, but where does it? Good. So what the Gemara? Other. The 14th day of Adar.
It's related to
I mean, again, the Torah does not say which month it is. The Torah only describes it by a number. That's it. Okay, so.
Does it say when the Jews came out?
Again, I understand. We all know where the conclusion. It's just a question of where do we see it? How do we see it in the Torah?
Do we know when the Jews came out? Does it explicitly say when the
They came out in the first month.
Oh, it doesn't say.
Right, correct. Right. The names are things, the names came later, much later. Tana Didan, Bishanim Kamari, Bechadashim Lo Kamari. And then, we're going to do this for every one of these four examples. Why doesn't our Tana mention this? The Mishnah. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is describing. You know what Nisan is? It's the beginning of kings and Yantifs. Okay? It's also the beginning of months. That's an important point. Why doesn't our Mishnah mention that? Our Mishnah is macro. Our Mishnah is dealing with things that have to do with annual events. The fact that it's the first month of the year, so that's micro. I understand it's not really micro, but in other words, our Mishnah is just dealing with things that are per annum and not things that are month number one, month number two, month number three. Fine. Li'iburin. Now, Iber. In terms of, we're discussing now the addition of a month. Let me just give a quick introduction to to the upcoming Gemara's discussion, and then we'll go through the Gemara, and Gemara is going to go much smoother after we introduce. So we have a set calendar. It's been that way for the last 1,700 years. We've discussed this already a number of times. In our set calendar, we know when the leap years are coming, right? We're just in the middle of a leap year right now. It's a 19-year cycle of those 19 years. So 7 of those 19 years are going to be a leap year. Okay, and it's brilliant because in that system now, we're going to have it so that for the foreseeable future, which hopefully will come to an end pretty soon, but for the foreseeable future, at least for the last 1,700 years, we're going to have it so that the solar year and the lunar year are perfectly aligned using the system of 7 leap years in a 19-year cycle. Good. But now let's go back to where there was no set calendar. So when was it determined that the year needs to be a leap year? And the answer was really simple. As needed. Such a simple answer. Meaning that when Beis Din got to the end of the year, now remember, when I say end of the year, I'm talking now, the month of Adar, right? We're now, because remember, Pesach has to be in the spring. It's Chodesh HaAviv. So as we got to the end of the year, so we're in the month of Adar, and it is freezing outside. And this is crazy. Meaning, we need more time for Pesach. No problem. We'll add another Adar. And what Beis Din will do is they would convene and they would discuss and there would be discourse and argument and whether or not we're going to need another month of Adar. And if they deem that that's so they're going to add another month of Adar. Very simple. Now, on average, it probably came out that they would add about 7 Adars in a 19-year cycle. But again, we're used to those numbers because that's how the calendar was set. But before the calendar was set, they just simply determined to add another month as needed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin describes what exactly they were looking for. You know, I gave a brief description of cold weather. But in other words, there were certain things that they were looking for to make the determination whether they would add in a month of Adar. When would they make the determination? So as I explained, in the month of Adar. Once Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes around, and once they say that today is the first day of Nisan, that's it. We are now, there's no more discussion about adding another month of Adar. And what we'll do is, next year, we'll meet again. Not next year, 11 months from now, we'll meet again, and we'll make the decision, and probably next year we're going to add another month.
They end up celebrating Purim in the first Adar then.
Right, correct. Meaning, in the system that I'm describing, I understand that. In the system that I'm describing, it could be that Purim will be celebrated in the first Adar, not the second. Okay. And
when was that switch to the second Adar then? Why do we say it on the celebration?
Well, in other words, I'll tell you what. Your question's valid. Come to me after. We'll discuss it more. I got Gemara that I need to cover. I'm on the clock. Okay, so that is a description of the adding of the additional Adar. And now with all that stated, so now we go back to the Braisa. The Braisa says, what's Nisan? It's Rosh Hashanah for Iber. The way I just described it, it's not Rosh Hashanah for Iber. You know what it is? It's the end of the year. Meaning, once we declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, no more Iber talk. So the Gemara says, Libor Minisa Manina Vatanya. The Gemara says, What are we talking about? Ain Ma'abri Mashana Lifne Rosh Hashanah V'im Ibrahim Mubaris. First of all, before Rosh Hashanah, meaning what we colloquially call Rosh Hashanah, so there's not even a discussion to be had about adding another month or not adding another month. It's way too early. And then, after Rosh Hashanah, we can have the discussion, but only if there's really a significant need. If there's a dechak, if there's really like an extenuating circumstance, so then we will decide after Rosh Hashanah, even though Adar is not for another 5 months from now. Now, what is Shas HaDechak? So Rashi offers a couple of explanations. Rashi says either we can forecast that in the month of Adar, the non-Jewish government will not allow us to convene Beis Din. Okay? However we arrived at that conclusion. Or Rashi says where the Nasi is not going to be available. The Adar, the process of adding the month of Adar has a Beis Din convening, but it needs a Nasi, the head of the Jewish people, to stamp and to sign the bill, if you will, into motion that the Adar is there. And if we know that the Nasi, that the leader, is not going to be available in Adar, so then we'll have the discussion early. But when we say early, we mean Rosh Hashanah. not any time before Rosh Hashanah. Mi'ar ve'alfa pikin en ma'abrin el Adar. But the primary time to have the discussion of adding the extra month is in the month of Adar, and only in the month of Adar. So the question is really simple. What is the Braisa talking about when the Braisa says that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Iborim? What? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my Iborim hafsak is Iborim. So the Gemara says exactly. Meaning, it's when we say Rosh Hashanah, we mean that's it. Doors closed. Once Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes around, there's no more Iber talk. There can't be more Iber talk. The next time we're going to have the discussion, 11 months from now. That's what the Braisa means. It's none. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It's a Mishnah. Hey, Neidu Shema Abrim Hashanah Kol Adar Shehayomrim Adar Shehayomrim Adar Purim. In fact, and Ben, this does address your question a little bit. There was a debate. The discussion of adding the extra month of Adar occurs in the month of Adar. When in the month of Adar? So the Tanakama of this Mishnah says the entire month. You'll have till the very end of the month. Now there was an opinion out there that says that you can only do it up till Purim. After Purim, that's it. You cannot discuss it anymore. After Purim, and it wasn't decided, the next month is going to be Nisan. Why should that be? The Gemara explains. The problem is as follows, because what happens the day after Purim? Actually, you can even argue the day of Purim, Pesach now is on everybody's mind. And that's not just a psychological commentary, that's a halachic reality. After Purim, we have an obligation to learn the halachos of Pesach. So now people are learning Pesach. And then what? And then we're going to add another Adar, and you're going to confuse everybody to no end. So once Purim, so this is the basis of the opinion, that once we hit Purim, and no decision has been made about adding another Adar, we're not going to add another Adar. The Idach, now what's the counter-argument? The Gemara says counter-argument is very simple. The counter-argument is, okay, you're right, people do learn the halachas of Pesach. But people also know that no one says it's Nisan until Beis Din says it's Nisan. Everything is dependent on Beis Din. Everybody knows that in the Adar there is a potential of there being another Adar. So no one's going to get caught up in the fact that, oh yeah, we opened up a Shulchan Aruch. Oh yeah, we started learning the halachas of Pesach. But look, you and I know nothing's happening until Beis Din says it's happening. Don't worry, you won't confuse people that much. Now, Tani Didan Baschalos Kamari Bafsekolo Kamari. And again, closing out this discussion, why didn't our Mishnah mention this? But that's very simple. Our Mishnah is only dealing with beginnings. Vis-a-vis Iber, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the end. So that's why our Mishnah didn't mention it.
Before the calendar was fixed, which one did they choose? Before Purim or after Purim? Yeah, then to the end of the Adar?
No, the halacha is you have the entire Adar. Yeah. You have the entire Adar. Trumas Shkalim, Min Alan.
So did they actually celebrate Purim?
Yeah, so the question stands. They celebrated Purim. Beis Din came out with a decision. Beis Din said, we're adding another Adar. So then what happens? So, right, that was Ben was asking that question. So it's, when we get to Megillah, we're going to discuss that. The Mishnah and Megillah discusses it. The Gemara discusses it. Okay, it's coming up. Just not today. Chumas Shkala, Minal and Amar of Yoshi Amakra. We're now up to the beginning of the fiscal year. All this should sound very familiar. We did all this together in Masechta Shkalim. So the Torah says, Zos olos chodesh b'chadsho l'chadshei hashana. Amar Torah chadesh v'abekarban mitshumas chadasha. So you renew. This is the month of renewal vis-a-vis all karbanos are bought with this year's money. Now, although the Torah says it's renewed, which is the first month, so the Gemara says Gzeres Shava. We learn it out from Gzeres Shava because the Torah says back in Parshas Bo, Rishon Hu L'Chadshei Hashana. So V'Ligmar Shana Shana Mitishrei D'Chsiv Mereishis Hashana. So the Gemara says, yeah, Gzeres Shava. I have a pasuk in the end of Parshas Akev, which actually describes Tishrei as being Reshit Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Now, how do we know that this pasuk is talking about Tishrei? Right. By this point in today's daf, you get to question everything, right? Oh, the Torah says that's the first month. How do you know which month that is? So, we can ask, how do we know that this pasuk in Akev is describing Tishrei? Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to answer that question. So Dan Shana Sheshi Machadash Mishana Sheshi Machadashim Vein Dan Sheshi Machadash Mishana Sheini Machadashim. Better Gzera Shava. Because both in Bo and in Pinchas we have the word Chodesh and we have the word Chadashim. So it's a better Gzera Shava. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel. Karbanot Tzibur Habayim Becha Benisa Mitzvah Lahavi Min Achadash V'im Hevi Min Ayashan Yatsa. Now here, classic Lechatzchila B'di'evit. Lechatzchila, where should the money be coming from Nisan's Karbanos? This year's money. B'di'avad. But if for whatever reason we didn't have money this year and we used last year's funds, B'di'avad it works. But you missed that on an opportunity of doing a mitzvah, and that is using this year's money. The Braisa echoes the same sentiment that you should be using this year's money, but b'di'evit, if you use last year's money, it works. Now, what about a person who wants to give money, a private donation, to the Beis HaMikdash to be used for Karban Tzibur? He may do so. The Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Ma'u detem aleichu shema, lo yimser and letzibor yafe yafe kamash malan. Problem is as follows. You'll see this to this very day. A person gives money to an institution. So he gives money, but he still wants his name attached to the money. It's human nature, not being judgmental. It's just simply human nature. So he wants his name attached to the money. Karban Tzibur has to be communal money. Meaning when you part with that money, you have to part with that money. You have to say, this money is no longer mine, it now belongs to the community. So, the concern may be that when the person gives the money, he still wants his name attached to that money. He wants the karban not to be the community's, he wants it to be his. The concern may be that a person will not part with his money and still have his name attached to the money, kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the concern. The Gemara says, but it's a havamina. It's a concern. It's not a conclusion. The conclusion is that a private donation, Beis HaMikdash will take it, and it's understood that the person is giving it to the tzibur. Yeah, correct. Right, we had that discussion. Tana Didan. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. In other words, money on Adar, and we learned in Shkalim, on Adar they would make the announcement, people, bring your monies. That money was collected into a chamber, and on day one of Nisan, they dipped into that money. To buy the karbanos. This is not a Pesach discussion. This is a Karban Tzibur discussion. This is the public offerings of the Jewish people. But now, again, wrapping up, V'tani didan kevin tikani mehevi yatsa lo psikalei. Now, why didn't our Mishnah mention this? Again, our Mishnah would be a perfect opportunity to discuss, these are the things that are happening on day one of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah for Chumas Alishka. Great. Why didn't our Mishnah mention it? Because it's not unilateral. As we just got done describing. If I use last year's money, so then b'di'evit, it's okay. So it's not an absolute, and our Mishnah would much rather speak in absolutes. Okay. Yeshua my mouth is clear as batim. And now let's finish up today's daf with a discussion of rentals. All rentals end in Nisan. Now, this is not, this is just a regular commerce, it's a commercial halacha. This is Chosha Mishpat. Rentals end in Nisan. Tana Rabbana Maske Baisa Chaver Lashana. Let's say the contract reads as follows. This is literally, we're learning contract law. So let's say the contract reads as follows. I'm going to rent to this house for you for the year. Okay, and in the contract there was no stipulation which month, which date, it just simply says for the year. Okay, so a year means date to date. But if in the contract it reads, I want to rent it for this year, if it was day one of Adar, so now you would say, okay, what does that mean? I have till next year? Nope. Nisan is when the rental comes to an end. Because, and this is not, it's not deceptive. It's that this is the way in parlance a year is understood. Meaning, I'm going down to Florida for the season. We understand season means that once March comes around, I'm out of here. Right? I'm going back up north. In other words, it's just simply understood that in the context of a discussion of rentals, the year ends in Nisan. Why should that be? So again, you got to go back to a season in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It basically means I'm bunkering down for the winter. It's rainy, it's cold, I'm bunkering down for the winter. And so in rental contracts, if I just simply say I'm renting it for this year, it means up until Nisan. That's how it's understood. Even if the contract is drawn up in Adar, still you have 1 month.
You mentioned the first of all, it means it has to be at least a month.
It has to be. The Gemara is going to make that point. The Gemara is going to make that point. V'yafil aman darma yom echad b'shana chashuv shana shani hachad olo tarachinish lemegar besa besa lebatzi mitalsin yomin. Okay, like I said, the Gemara is going to make that point. The Gemara just made that point. That this is true, but it has to be minimum 30 days. No one rents a house for less than 30 days. So in other words, the interpretation of this lease agreement is that the end of the year means Nisan, but only if there were 30 days. So the Gemara makes exactly the point that we made, that this is for the rainy season. People don't do this for the summer. Now, v'tana kama de brisa v'tana didam b'nisan nami mishkach shich kishre. Now, what about our Mishnah? And the Gemara says, not only our Mishnah, what about the tana kama of the brisa? Meaning, the brisa that we quoted that got us into this entire discussion, why doesn't he agree that rentals end in the month of Nisan? So the Gemara says, because sometimes Nisan's cold. Sometimes Nisan is cloudy. That's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says Kitri. Sometimes Nisan is cloudy. And so, our Mishnah, and even the Tana Kama would argue that when we say end of the year, it's not necessarily the first day of Nisan. Maybe Nisan is also part of the winter, and maybe I want to stay in longer. So the Tana Kama disagrees. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. So again, today's daf, we finished up the Baal Te'acher discussion, which extended from daf Dalet to the top of today's daf Zion. And then really the bulk of today's daf was dedicated to the omissions. Our Mishnah, which describes Nisan being the first of the month, so our Mishnah described two firsts, Malachim and Regalim, what was left out of our Mishnah. So we discussed four things that were left out of the Mishnah. The fact that Nisan is the first month of the year. The fact that Nisan is the end of the discussion for Iber, for adding an additional month. For Truma Shkalim, the fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash starts on the first day of Nisan. And rentals end on the first day of Nisan. So those are four omissions of the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah omit them? So we discussed each one of those in its place.